We come to the end of a series of messages on the subject of seeking God. Sometimes when we don't know who God is, life can be very, very, very troublesome. And even if we do know that He is God, not all of us know how to relate to Him. Because there are times when life can be very, very, very hard, very, very painful. About 10 years ago, when China began to open up its doors, there were only a few hundred thousand internet users. 2008, they had 420 million users. And they have their own, they don't have Yahoo and things like that, their own. But when this became a proportionate, it became so huge, many people were caught unawares. How do we cope with this problem? The older generation, not too much bothered by it, but the younger generation became very, very seriously worried. One big problem was addiction. There was one group that played this Warcraft. Played for it 2 days, 3 days. And you know, he had beaten a lot of multiplayers and so on and so forth. At the end of 3 days, he went up to a tall building. And he wanted to join the heroes. And he jumped. What was this problem that was hitting China? They don't know God. Many do not know God. And so the problem of addiction became a serious problem. There was this family, the Ting family. One son. This boy was a good boy. Just 13 years old, good grades, and everything else. And then he got hooked into internet. His grades began to plummet. And he didn't know what to do. And so the parents felt that the best thing to do, well, go and check, look for friends who say, you know, there is a rehab center that can help you. So they check. It was a government website. So they sign up. Before they sign up, they didn't tell him. They said, well, let's go for a, you know, this is summer holidays. Let's go down there and he went to the beach. Good boy. Saw somebody almost drowning and this boy went to rescue that lady. And they took a photograph of him and he was a young man, but the problem of addiction was very real. And so the family paid 70,000 yen, about $1,000, to go and get him to be in the school where they promised that they would cure him. It was meant to be a school that will help them psychologically and help them. And, you know, when the parents went there, they told the boy, just 1 month, during summer months, you'll be okay. After that, you'll be back to normal. Okay, we don't want to lose you. And so he was very sad. He says, I don't want to be here. And so this man, young man, Ting San Sheng, went there. And they made him run together with them. He ran for 36 laps in a hot sun. And he collapsed. And so one of the trainers there took a plastic chair and beat him until the plastic chair broke. He didn't last 1 day. He would send him to the hospital. 13 hours later, this boy was pronounced dead. The parents were up in arms, angry. They finally had compensation. Thousands of those cafes, internet cafes, were shut down by the thousands. But they cannot stop this epidemic. And this is an epidemic that many of us don't know what to deal with, don't know how to deal with this problem. And our children play, and we just, and they just are so hooked onto it. They don't know how to get out of it. What's the answer? You know, this is something that we have. We don't have the equivalent in the scriptures, but we have similar problems. In Psalm 59, David himself talked about the problems he had in his life. These were dire circumstances. And so he found himself crying out to the Lord, "Deliver me from my enemies." He sent out a prayer, "Defend me from those who rise up against me. Save me." Maybe his problems were different, but problems are problems, and they can be terrible. Several years ago, there was a man from Japan. He was due to retire, and he was planning for his retirement. Police officer going to retire. He will have a pension, looking forward to that very much. And as he was walking near a cliff area, he came across a young couple. And his young couple had tied handkerchiefs with each other. And he asked them, "What are you doing here? Why are you tying handkerchiefs together like this?" And his young couple, 30 years old, said to him, he introduced himself, "Shige-san." And he said, "Well, can we talk?" And so he talked to the both of them and tried to get, talk to them what they were doing. And so they said, "We are waiting for a few hours and we're going to jump down and we're going to commit suicide." Shige-san said, "You shouldn't do that. What's your problem?" He says, "We have so many debts. We can't pay. There is no outlet. We cannot face the family. We cannot face life. We are failures." So he said to them, "You know, there are outlets. I can help you. I can speak to government people. You know, I work in the police force. I know of many contacts." So they didn't jump. So he brought him down to the city and talked to different people. And so 1 month later, they wrote to him and said, "It doesn't work. No one has helped us. We are still in debt. There is no reason to live." And they went and jumped and killed themselves. He was so deeply traumatized by this, he used his retirement money to set up a small little cafe there, a little tea house, to help people. He spent several million of his own Japanese yen money, which is quite a bit of money, to try and help people. Other people began to join him. And they all tried to talk to people who felt that there was nothing to live for, there was no hope, there was no future, there is nothing. Do you know that there are thousands of people who commit suicide in countries like Japan every year because there's nothing to look forward to? Sometimes he would talk to them. Sometimes he would succeed. But sometimes he would fail. Other people began to join him. And then now they have got over 80 people who are there, scattered throughout the whole area. You know, I see this also in India. It's a place called Kodaikanal. I've actually been there. And when I was there, they told me this is the place where people are unhappy and unlucky in love. They come here to jump. And I asked them, what has been done about it? They said, nothing you can do about it. People want to jump, they just jump. In Andhra Pradesh, people commit suicide. Not ones and twos, but 20. They fail. The business failed. The crops didn't produce the harvest they want. They owe too much money to the bank. They're going to be foreclosed. What do you do? There may be different problems in the days of David, but it's there. Depression starts. The mind thinks differently. And we think that death is the best answer to life. No, it's not. This is why we ask people to see God's face. Because there has got to be a better answer than just depression and death. And this is what we want to learn. It's why we turn to the scriptures. And anyone and everyone we can turn away from death and depression, we save a soul. And that soul is precious. And so, you know, you think when you go to Japan and you see these huge mirrors that are there at all the MRT stations. I asked them one day, why are these there? And he says that it is to help people think again before they jump into the tracks. Maybe they see their face one last time. Maybe they will do this. So this man, Shige-san, gives mochi and tea, because mochi is a food of childhood. Maybe as they eat a bit of mochi, maybe take a bit of tea, maybe they remember the past, maybe they will come and not, you know, decide they don't want to jump to their death. And a lot of people face life and they have no idea what to do with life's problems come. What do we do when, you know, we have a chronic illness? What do we do when there is nothing to look forward to? What do we do when we grow old? I mean, it happens to everybody. MMA champion Ronda Rousey was defeated recently. You know, and she shared openly, I can't fight for the next several months. I have to wait for my wounds to heal. And thoughts of death came in. Why don't I just kill myself? It's there. It's so real. You may be a martial artist and those stray thoughts can come. Then as we grow older, we say, what's the point of life? What's the point of living? All you need is just that one moment. And it's all over. Can it happen? Yes. You know, several years ago, one of our own church members was a school teacher. And she couldn't cope with the school teaching work. And she went into depression and was boarded out. And for a while, she couldn't find any job to do that is significant. One day, a family member, she hasn't been to church for some time. One of the family member called me up and said, Pastor, do you remember this person? I said, yes. I'm sorry to tell you that our sister has committed suicide. Can you come to the hospital, go to the morgue? Because we dare not to see a person who has committed suicide. So I went to the morgue, identified the person, I know the person, and the person says, can you do all the things for us? Because we are afraid that now she has died this terrible way. Her spirit is angry, vengeful. It may come back and haunt us. And I assured them, it's not going to happen. Can it come to our shores? Can it come to our church? Answer, yes. This is why we say to people, seek God. There is no such thing as a guaranteed situation. Now that I'm a Christian, you know, now that I believe in God, I'm not going to have depression problems. You know, it's only for other people. That's not true. Why do you think we send out this message Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? Because the dangers are so real. All you need is a bit of failure. Look at things happening in the world today. People lose their jobs. They can't find another job. And their bills to pay. Their children are still young. And they have no idea how to cope with life. And so we send forth this message. Seek God's face. And we want to be that church that helps people to, you know, to tell people, you know, is there any way we can help? You know what? We want to do this. Shige-san is not a Christian. And his answer is to take his savings to go out there and do this. I know of a couple in Australia. And our church over in Bethel is supporting their work now. And this was an old couple who one day they were driving along in the winter time and it was cold. And he saw a few people huddled in under the bridge. Well, she thought maybe they're just waiting for the rain to go by. And an hour later, she drove by. They drove by again and they found that they were still there. In fact, a few more people there. So they stopped their car and they said, you know, what's up? And they said, well, we have no place to stay. We have no food to eat. Some days are tough. Some days are tougher. And so they decided, the couple of them, this couple decided that they're going to do something about it. They were wealthy. They felt they did not need all the wealth that they had. And so they began to make sandwiches and coffee and tea for people. That's what they did. Their work has now progressed to draw in a lot of other people who are helping them to say, listen, we are in. We're going to help you too. Let's reach out. I've spoken to this older couple. And I asked them why they want to do this. And they said, you know, we want to tell people about the God that we have. We want to tell the people. We want to use, firstly, our own wealth. God has blessed us with so much. We want to give what we have to help other people get to know this God. You know, Psalm 59 has a few verses which are very, very special to my heart. I want to share them with you this morning. Okay, verse 10. And 59:10, the psalmist says, my God of mercy shall come to meet me. I like that. He speaks of a personal God who comes to meet him where he is. You know, and if you have met God, if God has met you and met your needs, you know, you never know how you can help other people come to know the Lord too. And I think this is something that we want to do very much. Yesterday, one of our church younger members came up to me and said, Pastor, can you speak to my auntie also? My auntie is dying from cancer. And, you know, I'm going to try and reach out to her as well. She speaks only Teochew, very much more Teochew than anything else. I say, okay, well, I'm going to try and see. How wonderful it is to be able to speak of a God of mercy. Yesterday, Yong Kiat called me up to say that, Yong Seng as well, to say that their mother just passed away yesterday evening. And the body is over at a Cherish at Mount Vernon parlor. And all too soon, cirrhosis of the liver, and his life is gone. You know, we race against time always. Whether it's depression or whether it is death, it will come all too soon. How wonderful it is to be able to say, my God of mercy will come to meet me. Well, that's what we are looking at. Verse 16, the psalmist David says, but I will sing of your power. I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. You have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. You know, God may not appear to us in a very spectacular way, but with faith we can understand what it means to believe in a God of power, in a God of defense, a God of mercy, a God where he will be our refuge in the day of my trouble. He will be to us our strength as well. You know, as I read things happening in China, as I look at things happening in Japan, as I look at our own challenges in Singapore, 2016 is going to be a tough year for everybody. And I want to say this to all of us. This is why I'm asking all the pastoral team people and everybody else to reach out to people. Why do you think we're going to have an ANA development so that we can expand our church? It's simply because of one thing. There are people out there who are in trouble. There are people out there who think there is no hope in life. There are people out there who don't know God. They don't know him as a God of mercy. They don't know him as a God who is a refuge. And many of them are going to be depressed, and some will jump to their death. And our challenge is to care for people, is to tell people, you know, we have a God that we want to share with you. But that's what we want to do. That's what we should do as a church, as people who know the Lord, as people who love the Lord. I'm going to ask that we all prepare our hearts and our minds for ACM later to say, this is what we want to do. We're going to endorse this project. Yes, we're going to reach out to people who have many, many, many challenges in their life. We have next month, March and April, next 2 months, we're going to talk about how God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to give to us the hope of life eternal. We need to bring this gospel to people while we still can, because you never know when somebody will just perish meaninglessly. May our hearts be moved to seek God for ourselves and reach out to people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that we can truly be still and know that you are our God of refuge, our God who defends us, our God of mercy. Father, we pray for many out there who don't know you, who face a life of despair. And Father, we pray that you'll help us to care for people and to reach out to them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you would help us to be deeply motivated to share this faith of ours with other people, and ask you to bless as we give this offering to further your work. In Jesus' name, amen.